This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network.
Hello and welcome to Game Bet and Match, the tennis podcast brought to you in association with Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. I'm Nigel Seeley, looking ahead to this week's tennis action. Again, is my co-host Sean Calvert, tennis journalist. Sean, funny week this week, isn't it? We've got two tournaments, two ATP 250 events, not the most glamorous of events, but in quite glamorous locations. Let's start with the event in Lyon, over in France, okay. Where Cam Norrie was our tip last week. We got it absolutely spot on. We bet him in the quarter with Alcaraz, but he didn't produce the goods on the course. Alcaraz obviously withdrawn. Cam Norrie's the number one seed. He's 6-1, but the favourite this week is number two seed, Pablo Carreño Busta. You've looked at the draw. Where do you think the angle is over in France?
Well, I think we were unlucky last week, weren't we, with Norrie? You know, he was injured. He did his first round match. He beat the wild card in straight sets. Just didn't look himself at all against Cilic. And then in the second set, I don't know whether you saw it, he had a medical timeout for an ankle problem. He just wasn't himself. He's obviously got some sort of ankle issue, which suggests to me, if you're Cam Norrie and you're thinking of having a decent run at the French Open, you're in the field for Lyon this week, you're not gonna put it all in, are you?
No.
If you've got an ankle problem, it's a pre-existing issue that was so bad that it made him not anywhere near his normal self against Chile. I could see this being one of those situations where Norrie just maybe plays a match, a couple of half-hearted matches, and that's it for him. It seems a bit daft for him to be going the whole distance this week in that condition.
And really, with no, you know, the motivation at the end of the day is about money. There's not really much motivation here for this. Not a motivation for you and I, Sean, but really not much motivation for a Cam Norrie with the prize money on offer a week before a major. How do you cap tournaments before a week before a major? You know, your experience of looking at these kind of events, is it one that you tread very, very carefully with the market leaders and look for some? Because when you look at this, I've looked at the results here, these tournaments this week, they've been won by pretty decent players. You know, it's not like Tsitsipas won the tournament we're going to talk about in Geneva, and there's been big winners of this before. So, you know, the logic says oppose them, but the role of honour doesn't.
You have to look at the individual player. And look at their form. I mean, what I've done here is I've looked at the market leaders and seen how well they've done in their career in matches, in tournaments, the week before majors. And there's generally a distinct pattern. There's ones that'll turn up and there's ones that aren't. So if you do your research and check, it is a bit painstaking because you have to go through quite a lot of old matches, but you can do it. Like you say, Tsitsipas won Lyon last year, beat Norrie in the final, didn't he? So that one went to form. But a couple of years prior in Lyon, Benoit Paire won it at 20-1. And the interesting thing about Benoit Paire is that his last three ATP finals have come in the weeks before majors. And that's Benoit Paire, a guy that you would expect, you know, he doesn't normally have much of a reason for retiring or quitting. And his last three finals have come in weeks, you know, prior to majors. So the research on things like that, I think you just got to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's Benoit Paire, he's the one player that you wouldn't expect to be putting it in, but amazing.
He won Lyon 2019, as I said, 21, beat Felix in the final. Exactly. I wouldn't put it past Paire doing something this week. It's kind of the crazy sort of thing that he would do. As I say, he turns up when he feels like it, and he's felt like it a lot in pre-major weeks in the last few years.
Let's have a look at we mentioned Norrie there going with an injury, which obviously brings in people in that quarter of his draw. Gael Monfils is his most likely semi-finalist. He's number three seed in that top half. Yeah. Obviously, those two, you've got to repose in that quarter. So I'm suggesting that you're probably looking for some other angle in that top quarter. And there's one man that jumps off the page for me, and that's the man that we bet. Well, you bet a few weeks back in Estoril, Bays. He's half the price at 8-1, but he's in that quarter with Norrie, and with Norrie having an injury issue, the Argentinian probably looks like someone who can capitalise on that.
Possibly. I think what you've got to bear in mind, we've talked about it a lot in these last few podcasts, but you've got to bear in mind the weather again. It's going to play fast in Lyon and Geneva this week for the first 3 or 4 days because it's going to be 30 degrees. And then they're going to hit thunderstorms later in the week. So the first 3 or 4 days is going to play more like a hardcore tournament because we've not mentioned it yet, but there is a bit of altitude at both these events. Lyon, it's not much in Lyon. It's like 175 meters or something like that. Geneva's about 300 and something. So there is altitude at play in these two events, which makes it play a little bit quicker, as we've talked about in previous weeks. And some hardcore players have done well in these tournaments. Now, Martin Fuksovic has won Geneva. Peter Gyovchik has got to the final in Geneva. You don't get a more flatter hitter than Peter Gyovchik. He would not ever describe himself as a clay court player, and he made the final here in Geneva, a few years ago. So if you're looking at Bayes, he's obviously an out-and-out clay courter. He might get caught out by someone like Bonzi in the first round because it's gonna be quick. So that's something you've got to bear in mind. So I think this is really tricky. I think this first half, the top half of the Lyon draw, I think that's really open. If I could trust Rinderknecht, he'd be my big price one that I'd like, but he's had a wrist injury. So, you know, how bad is that injury? You don't know. I think it's really tough. I think Holger Rooney's in there with a chance as well, but again, more of an out-and-out clay quarter. I think it's really tricky, that top half. I don't know if you fancy anyone. No one really springs out to me.
Well, I was looking at Bayes, actually, to be fair, but obviously the conditions that you say there are going to change that. I was also looking at Cerundolo as well, potentially. I was looking to oppose Norrie in some capacity,
yeah.
But obviously you're probably looking at more getting beaten in the latter stages of the tournament rather at the beginning of the stage of the tournament when the conditions change a little bit. So that's the top off. The other player that obviously you mentioned there that the draw, you know, may suit or the tournament may suit so people with hardcore experience. You look at the bottom half of the draw. Karina Buster, I bet last week in play against Kakanov, and I thought I was counting the money. Third set, he just disappeared, and he didn't look great to me. I don't know if it was a mental thing or a physical thing, but Karina Buster, the number two seed and the tournament favourite, was certainly someone I wouldn't trust. Go talk about Karina.
I was just going to say with PCB, he's another one. I've done some of this research for you, so it's in terms of the pre-major weeks. He's made 12 career finals, Karina Buster, and only one of those finals has come in a pre-major week, which was 2016 in Winston-Salem. So he's another one that's, I can't imagine he's looking for an ATP 250 title. He's got you know, a few of them. He's not. I can't imagine he's going to be that bothered. And I think the Kachanov thing, I think that's mental with him because Kachanov's beat him several times. If I remember right, I think he beat him at the Olympics last year, and he beat him easy. If Kachanov's on his game, which is hit and miss, if he's on his game, he can knock off someone like Karina Buster. But yeah, again, PCB. He's not a player that's gone well lately in pre-major weeks. So, you know, you got to be thinking about what his motivation is, really.
I think the thing with him, though, Sean, he was brilliant in the second set. He blitzed Kachanov away. And the match was there for the taking. But his body language in that third set, he just gave up. And, you know, that was a tournament, a big tournament. It was an ATP 1000 event. So what is he going to be
like? He's an odd one. He does this sometimes. I don't know if you saw that public match in Monte Carlo. He barely got out of first gear, just trotting around. And sometimes he looks like he could run all day. He's an odd one. Sometimes he fancies it, sometimes he doesn't. I certainly wouldn't be backing him this week. That's the bottom line.
Well, he's a tournament favourite. So we put lines between, if you look at the betting, 9-2 Karina Buster, 6-1 Cam Norrie, 13-2 is a man we're going to come on to next, and probably out of the bottom half of the draw, he's probably impressed me quite a lot in this sort of spring period clay court forward. It's Diminuar from Australia. I mean, a player that shouldn't really be doing well on clay, but he's doing relatively, having a decent run.
Yeah, he's been poor up until this year on clay. He's always said that he likes playing on clay because he played a lot in Barcelona when he was younger. So he has played quite a lot on clay in his youth. But up until this clay swing, he's produced absolutely nothing on the surface at all. He's been a favourite. I've opposed him numerous times on clay when he's been about one to two, one to three, in first, second round of clay court matches. I've opposed him numerous times with great success. But this year, something's clicked with him, and he's just he's just playing far, far better. I looked at his stats yesterday. They're really impressive on clay. So, and, you know, he was within one good forehand, wasn't he, making the Barcelona final. Mm. And you've got to be a good clay court player to make the final of Barcelona. So, yeah, he's certainly one that you would have to have on your shortlist this week. He's probably I'd say he's the favourite to get through that quarter. So, yeah, I'd have him pretty high up on my shortlist as I was having a bet in Lyon.
Yeah, next in the leading contenders, Monfils is +750. Baez is 8, and Kakanafu, we mentioned, is 9. He looks like he could be set to place Karina Busta, the man he beat last week in Rome, in the quarterfinals. So that's pretty much the leading contenders. Where do you see the value in the draw, Sean?
I don't. Right. To be honest, I'm really struggling with this. There's a few that I've catching off, I quite fancy. But the problem with him is he's so hard to win with. You know, he's not won a tournament since 2018 in Paris when he beat Djokovic. He's not won since then. It's like almost 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago. But if he plays like he did last week, you know, and you can get about 10 to 1, I think you might have to go with him. But it's a tentative pick. I'm more optimistic about Geneva this week than I am about Lyon. I have to say, I think Lyon is really tough. I normally love my 250s, my 500s. And I do fancy something in Geneva, but I'm not sold enough, I think, on Lyon for one player to stand out. I'll probably take Khachanov on the basis of the fact that it is going to play quick in the first few days up until about Thursday. Remember, this tournament finishes on a Saturday. Mm. So it's 1 day earlier than the normal tournaments. I'll probably go catching off, but it's a tentative one. It's not a firm pick for me this week in Lyon.
Yeah, I think the conditions are going to be really, really important. You know, and your opinion of the tournament is going to change as the week goes on. Obviously, the more clay court players who get through to the knockout stages, if you get some value on some more, guys who are more clay courters through and through, once they get past them dangerous hurdles with the better weather in the first couple of rounds, you may want to look at them. But a tentative selection from Sean for Karen Kakanov at 9-1 in Lyon in France in a tournament that doesn't really inspire. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to have a little bit on Adimnoa at +650.
We'll put you off that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely a chance. I think those two look the ones in the bottom half of the draw.
Yeah, so we're going in the bottom half against the top half where Cam Norrie is carrying an ankle injury. So be very careful if you're betting Norrie, number one seed, and the number two seed and tournament favourite Karina Busta doesn't look interested at all. Now, let's move over to the Geneva Open. We're going to look at some match bets after we break down the both tournaments on the outright markets. But look at the Geneva Open. You said that you may have a stronger pick here. The market is headed by Casper Ruud. No surprise, really. The number two seed is +250. But it marks the return of Daniil Medvedev, the Russian who's been out injured. He's got a wild card this week and he's the number one seed and he's 5-1 second favourite. Before we go into your tip, let's look about Medvedev. I mean, he looked like he was going to take over from Novak Djokovic and going to be the clear number one as the change of the guard. He's lost a lot of tennis time. He's lost, obviously, the conflict that's happening in Ukraine is going to affect him as well. Where do you see him at? You know, coming into this mentally, physically, we know it's going to be a big question mark. But losing that period of tennis, it may take him a bit of a while to come back when you think of that, what's happened to Alcaraz in that period that he's been off.
Yeah, I just think he's coming back here just for some match play. You know, he's mentioned several times in the past, similarly to Bublik, he can't stand clay. And you can see why. His game is based on flat hitting. And he can't get the ball through the court as much on clay than he can on hard courts. I mean, if you just take a quick look at his record on the two surfaces, he's won 42% of his main level matches on clay. And he's won 74% on hard. It's quite a disparity. He makes no secret of the fact he doesn't like clay. He's had a hernia. That's why he's been off for the last couple of months since Miami. He knows he's got absolutely no chance at the French Open. I can't imagine he's even vaguely interested in the result of the Geneva Open. I think he's just coming here to maybe get a couple of matches, two or three matches, play the French Open and then go straight to to the grass. I know he's probably going to play in Mallorca prior to Wimbledon. So I think he's obviously a much more viable contender for Wimbledon than he is for the French. I just think he's coming here just to get matches again and get the feel of playing tournaments again. That's my view on him this week.
Yeah, I mean, 5-1. I mean, you've got to be opposed in that top half of the draw. They could look at the next in the betting. We've got the Shapovalov at +550, another player who's been improving on clay. You know, you wouldn't expect him to do. He's doing very well. He could be a dangerous person in that top half of the draw. Basilashvili at 12, Ramos Vinolas at 14, Fognini at 14. Surprisingly, he's very, very short, whether he wants to turn up as well. And Riley Opelka at 14-1. They're the list of the leading contenders. Where do you see the value in this draw, and who you got your eye on?
I think we can oppose a lot of these market leaders. Medvedev is a definitely going to oppose him. I mean, I think he made the final in Barcelona, actually. I think that's his best result on clay, which is really good for him. But, you know, coming back from injury, he's just looking for match practice. Rude won this title last year. Mm-hmm. Is he going to fancy it this year? He's just gone deep in Rome. He only finished playing last night, didn't he, against Djokovic? He's going to fancy his chances in the French Open. I can't imagine he's going to want to play the full week in Geneva, can you?
No.
I don't see it. So you're kind of ruling him out as well. Shapovalov's just not a natural on clay. He's had some really good results on it, but that service motion, that backhand, they're a liability at times. If he's playing well and really feeling it, he can do it, but there's going to be times when he's going to break down, and we've seen it so often. The horrendous double faults, the run of double faults, the backhand isn't going to be consistent because he has to jump when he's hitting it. If it's bouncing high on clay, if you've seen him play his backhand, he's most of the time he's off the floor hitting it. You're not going to be consistent doing that. He did make the final here last year, but you really are. He's one of them. He's either going to go through it and make the final, or he's going to lose in the first round, and I think it could be the latter, to be honest, this year, because he's got
you can't take. I mean, you don't mind taking odds of 20-1 when that's the case, but you could worse.
Yeah,
you've got to take +550. I mean, it's very low.
I like him
very low.
Yeah, I like him in the bigger tournaments, like in, you know, when he's like 80-1, and you think, okay, you know, let's take a chance on him. But 5-1, not for me. He's got Ivashka. He'd probably have Ivashka in the first round, and I quite like Ivashka here because we've talked about the conditions. It's the kind of clay court tournament, as we've said, that hardcore courts can do well in. Ivashka made the last 16, I think, here as a qualifier. He made the semi-finals of Munich as a qualifier at similar altitude. He's been unlucky this clay swing, actually, Ivashka. He's played some really good players and lost in three sets. Tsitsipas, Basilashvili, Musetti, Davidovich Fokina, lost in the final set against all of those. So we know he can play on clay. So 25-1, I think in the top half, you're either looking at Ivashka at that price or taking a chance on Basilashvili at about half the price, which I don't know whether I fancy. Again, Basil's one you would prefer at a bigger tournament at a bigger price than a smaller tournament at a short price for me.
So there you have it. So both action in the top half, Basilashvili. Sorry?
I was going to say, that's the top half. There's obviously a few I fancy in the bottom half.
Okay,
well,
yeah. So we've got Basilashvili at the top half at 12-1, and we've gone for Ivashka at 28 in the top half. We're opposing Medvedev. We're opposing Shapovalov. Shapovalov we can't trust with his motion and his game. Mm-hmm. Medvedev we can't trust because he's just coming here to get some games under his belt on a returning from the injury. In the bottom half now, we're going to look at Casper Ruud, like we say, too short at 250. A lot of people with question marks at around about 14-1, and I'm guessing there's probably someone at an even bigger price you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, the two seeds here, obviously Opelka and Ruud in the bottom half. We've talked before, haven't we, about Opelka and how he just generally fails to turn up for 250s and on the clay in Europe. Never made a final outside of North America. Conditions should be perfect for him this week in Geneva. Bit of altitude, quick. You know, you should fancy him, bearing, you know, with his game, with his serve and the way that he plays on clay. Semi-finalist on, you know, in Rome on clay, Opelka. This should be perfect for him, but I just don't think he's going to turn up. He might, but so often he doesn't for these 250s. His record is appalling in these 250s on clay in Europe. So I think you have to, if you are backing him, you're taking a big chance that he fancies it. So in his section, I think Tommy Paul is probably the one that appeals at the price. He's about 18 to 1. It's the only price I've seen on him so far. So you'll probably get about 20s. Tricky first round against Griekspoor, but you'd fancy him after that. You know, this guy's a former French Open junior champion. He's been a little bit hit and miss at main level on clay, but he can clearly play on the surface. And as we've said, this will play more like a hard court this week. So it should suit Tommy Paul. He's the one I fancy about 18, 20 to 1 in that section with Opelka. And the bottom section, the fourth quarter of the draw, I mean, look at it. You've got Fognini, you've got Pear, you've got an injured Del Bonis, Kokkinakis, who's very inexperienced on clay, and Ruusuvuori, who's a good hardcore player, but lacks the patience and the point construction for clay, certainly at the moment in his career. So I'd be tempted to have a very, very small bet on Pear. You'd probably get about 66 to 1 on him. Very small bet, obviously, because he's, you know, it's Benoit. Anything can happen. He could retire in the first set of the first round, or he could win it. It's one of them. So I think for me, Tommy Paul is the main bet, and a throwaway few quid on Benoit at a massive price. I think that's the play in Geneva in the bottom half. The top half, I think we've gone with Ivashka. Basilashvili second choice if you don't fancy Ivashka.
Yeah, so that's a good breakdown there. But again, we're opposing both of the leading favourites, and that could be the strategy ahead of a major. So some nice big prices there, Sean. But have you looked at the match bets? I noticed this game's been played yesterday on Saturday. This game's been played on Sunday. There was a card on Monday in the first round of both tournaments. Anything that's caught your eye? There's a lot of low price favourites, isn't there? You know, I know you like looking for the underdogs, and I think it's quite a hard and it's even probably more harder on the match bets rather than the outright, because you're going to take a big risk on some of these players actually turning up and really gearing through the motions in the first round.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you've got to keep an eye on the weather. I think it's going to be warm, well, hot, 30 degrees in the first couple of days. So if you are back in these clay quarters, you are risking it a little bit with the quicker conditions. As I said, slight altitude at both tournaments. We talked last week, didn't we, about Del Bonis against Carreño Busta. And the price, if you recall, the price seemed way, way off on Carreño, miles too short. I watched that match. The layers obviously knew something that we didn't. He's obviously carrying some sort of an injury, Del Bonis. He had taping on his leg. And he was nowhere near Carreño Busta last week. Now he's sort of 1.3 to beat Barrancas. Barrancas, as we know, is no clay quarter, really. His favourite conditions are indoor hard. But he played Del Bonis in Belgrade in really slow clay conditions last year and took a set off him. I think he can do the set. I think he can either win or take a set here, Barrancas, because it's going to be quick. We know Del Bonis doesn't like it quick with his long backswings. He no good on faster surfaces. We know that. And not in any sort of physical condition. I think he's won one of his last 10 matches. And he just doesn't look fit. The layers must think he's not fit based on the price, based on how they priced him up last week. I think Barrancas has got a decent chance there as underdog, of certainly on the handicap.
Well, what is the handicap we're getting?
I think, well, to take a set, he's the shade of odds on to take a set. I'd probably go with that bet.
I've got it here. So Bet Rivers have got Del Bonis minus 305, Barrancas plus 225. The handicap is a 3.5 game start for Barrancas at plus 105. And on the set handicap, so it was set spread, Barrancas plus 1.5 sets is minus 120.
Okay. What's that in English?
It's 5-6.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I mean, if Del Bonis wins that in straight sets in his current condition, his current physical condition, in these playing conditions, I'd be quite surprised.
So Barrancas to shock an injured Del Bonis. I bet Del Bonis last week against Carreño Busta plus 4.5. Plus 4.5. And he was clear. I knew I lost my money from first.
The price was right on that one, wasn't it? But the layers obviously knew more than we did about his condition, because he didn't look at all fit to me.
So Barrancas, well, you've convinced me there, Sean. I like the. So the best bet would be the Barrancas plus 1.5 sets. And minus 120. So
I think these conditions, you know, in Geneva's altitude anyway, which makes it quick. And it's sunny, it's warm. I don't fancy Delbonis in those conditions. Having watched him last week as well, I certainly wouldn't be backing Delbonis at that price.
No, exactly. So that's your main pick in Geneva. Is there anything you like in Lyon? I know it's very difficult over there. I mean,
it is. I mean, you have to sort of think outside the box a little bit with these pre-major tournaments and maybe think who's a little bit more motivated and who isn't. Again, I'm going with a guy who isn't a renowned clay courter, but he'll be more motivated. Manarino against Karatsev. I mean, for me, Karatsev has gone back towards what he used to be about a year or two ago. You know, he had that purple patch, didn't he, where he made the semi-finals of the Australian Open, and everyone was thinking, oh, this guy, you know, where's he been? He's old, you know, he's 27, you know, he's not really done anything on the main tour. And he came in and he did great, didn't he, for about a year. Now he's gone again. Confidence looks completely shot at the moment. Not a clay court player anyway. Manarino will enjoy these quicker conditions. But as I said, obviously the first few days are going to be quick. Manarino, he actually made the semi-finals in the tournament that preceded Lyon, which was Nice. He made the semi-finals here on the clay five, six years ago. But I think he's got a definite chance of taking a set against Karatsev. Might even be, because Karatsev is just really not on it at the moment at all.
Yeah, so we're going to go for Manarino to win the game. And Manarino is a nice price. You can get +255 Manarino. That game is actually today, though. So if you can get that on, if you can. But it's +3.5 on the game handicap. And if you want to get the set spread, Manarino +1.5 sets is -106, almost even money. Sean, we're running out a little bit of time, but I know we just want to just go on about, just before we go, we're just going to talk about Wimbledon. I know it's not something we want to talk about now. You know, we've got so many tennis tournaments to come before the big tournament in June. But this is a good time to look at the Wimbledon market, isn't it? Because there's a lot of players who will do well at Wimbledon who are overperforming on the clay courts. So if they can bring that form in, we can get a really nice price, because the bookmakers aren't really paying their attention on Wimbledon. They're looking at the French Opens and these 250 events. So I know you've got a couple of players that you've cast an eye at, and you've got a history of doing this over the last couple of years. So who are you looking at the moment for Wimbledon?
Yeah, I mean, we did this last year with Berrettini. After he did well in Madrid, I took him at 50-1 each way for Wimbledon. He started at 12-1, as we know, ended up making the final. So this for me is the sort of the week, you know, when everyone's thinking about the French Open. It's too late for me to be looking at the French Open, and the draw for the French it could be really loaded depending on obviously who comes out. So this is the time for me to be looking at Wimbledon. I've got the market here of the leaders, and there's question marks for me over all of them. If we're saying that Djokovic is going to go deep at the French Open, which we assume that he is, you know, he did actually win the French and Wimbledon back-to-back last year, but it's so rare. I mean, it takes such an effort to do that, and it exhausted him for the rest of the season. I can't see him doing that this year. If he goes deep at the French, I can't see him winning Wimbledon. Second favourite is Alcaraz. He's played two matches on grass in his entire career. Nadal's injured. Berrettini's injured. Zverev's never won a title on grass in his career. Tsitsipas has shown absolutely nothing on grass so far in his career at all. So that's the first five or six I've ruled out. Medvedev's not been priced up yet. So he's one that you want to keep on your side, because he should enjoy the grass conditions way, way more than he does, obviously, the clay. The two that stand out are big prices to me. Dimitrov at 120-1. With Bet Rivers, if you back in him each way, I could certainly see him getting to the quarterfinals, and then obviously you're playing the luck of the draw then who he gets. I think that's just too big for me. He won Eastbourne last year on the grass. He's got a great record on grass, loves it, it's his favorite surface. You know, and he's been playing fabulously on the clay, which, as we talked about earlier on in the show, this is a guy who's obviously, he's going to take great confidence from that. Because he's obviously been poor on the clay. Now he's had a fabulous clay swing. He'll take that confidence into the grass. And if you get a lucky draw, you know, away from Djokovic or whatever, I think he's got 120s. You can get into the quarters there, I think. Mm-hmm.
And he's the guy I think will do well this week as well. So I'm going to take that price now before he could quite easily win in Lyon this week.
I do think that's too big. I mean, my concern with him is if he might play Eastbourne again the week before, and then if he goes deep there, he might have tied himself up Wimbledon. But 120-1 is worth the risk. And if you can get a decent price about Taylor Fritz, I think he's the other one that's interesting as well. He's another Eastbourne winner on the grass. He's injured at the moment, so the bookies aren't really thinking about him too much. But again, great, great game for grass. The other thing you've got to bear in mind when you're looking at this Wimbledon futures market, it's not, Wimbledon's way, way slower now than it used to be. Way slower. It's not a place for the big servers anymore. And Kyrgios was complaining bitterly last year about how slow the courts are. There was only 81% service holds last year at Wimbledon. Which it just shows you that I think Queens was 85% or 86% holds of serve. Queens is way quicker. Wimbledon is quite slow, which brings in the demi-noughts. It's not a place for these big servers anymore. So I think the Wimbledon market is just so open. I mean, I'm just looking at these favourites. I'm thinking, Federer's up there. Federer's somewhat like the ninth favourite. When was the last time he even played? Kyrgios is one of the favourites. Plays when he feels like it. He's never going to win a major. Sinner's never won a match on grass in his life. So for me, I don't know whether you looked at this, but for me, this just looks very, very open. I could see someone causing a bit of a surprise, at least getting to the semis and giving us a chance at each way.
I haven't looked at it, Sean, because I know I can speak to you every Saturday or Sunday and you can tell me exactly what I should do. That's why we love you here on the Bet Rivers Network. So there we have it. We have some outright picks in Geneva this week, outright picks in Lyon. A word of caution if you are betting, because motivation is going to be a big, big factor for these players heading into the French Open next week. And just a reminder, the French Open next week, on Game Better Match, we had a special French Open preview podcast show next week, which will be out, which is very exciting. Two special guests on that as well, alongside myself and Sean. We look at all the best bets at Roland Garros. Remember, you can subscribe to the Bet Rivers Network on YouTube. Also, download the show on any one of your preferred podcast methods. It's available there. You can also give Sean a follow on his Twitter handle, which is Sean
at Sean Calvert One.
You can follow me at CD_Nigel. Sean, thank you very much as ever. Enjoy the tennis this week. And really, really interesting in those tennis bets. Those Wimbledon bets. I'm going to be off this call straight away and be betting Dominoir and Fritz at massive prices, triple figure prices. You're not only getting the bets this week on the Game Better Match podcast, you're also getting tips for Wimbledon already. So thanks very much for that. Have a safe weekend. Everyone stay safe out there, and please remember to gamble responsibly.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network.